Yeah, we're up to Chavzayin on Beis Halacha Gimel. Last season, Hamaitzi Paras Bederach. A person finds fruit on the way. V'not on the he took them in order to eat them. He was originally taking them to eat them. V'nimlach lahatzniya. But then he changed his mind. Decided, you know what? I'm gonna put it on the side of the road. I'm actually not gonna keep it for myself after all. Again, here is the same idea that you were kind of already when you picked it up. By the way, when we said, I forgot, I wanted to correct this from last week, from last block. It's when it said over there that you were in a store, and it says, Moshach, he did Mashicha. So the Mephoshim all say that's not correct. It doesn't mean Mashicha. It actually means Hagbah. Because anything which is Niknas B'Hagbah is not Niknas Mashicha. So, since fruits and vegetables that you buy in the store, all you have to do is pick it up. So when it says mashach, it doesn't mean mashach. That's the way Reb Chaim says in the Perushim over there. So over here also, we're talking about where you did a hagbah already. So you're kind of, does he speak this? No. Yeah. Okay, whatever. It's the same thing here. So the same deal, because it's your responsibility.
So the person that dumped these peros, did they mafkir them? I don't understand what the status of these peros are.
So the rule is, they speak this out as well, that you have to be talking about where they had already gemar molocha.
I understand.
Once you had gemar molocha, hefkir is not going to take away the chiv to take off maisers.
But how would he know? How would the person that finds it that there was gemar molocha? I'm saying he finds something, he thinks somebody dropped off the wagon.
Yeah, well, it could be it's nicker from the fact that it's tied up in bundles.
But he says actually specifically that there's no siman, because if it was tied up in a certain way...
There's no siman for as far as Hashavas Aveda is concerned, right. But if it's a standard way of tying a bunch of carrots together, that wouldn't be a siman anyway. So it's a good point. So again, so we're talking about where we know that there's no chiv hashav saveda. Number two, we know that it's gemar malacha, and therefore you
so
have to take.
So hefker won't help.
All these conditions. That's correct.
Excuse me, where are you?
We are on Chav Zayin Amud Beis at the Mishnah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we just said that if you find Paris and you pick them up and you change your mind, you decide you're going to leave it on the street, so you still have to take maizrus because you were kinda. Okay. Now we're on Chav Ches Amud Aleph. That you didn't pick it up in order to be kona, but you didn't want them to get trampled on, right? A putter, then you putter obviously because you never had a mind to be kona. Kol davar sheino demashoy lamaychay demai. Whenever you're not allowed to sell something in a state of demai, and the Gemara is going to explain exactly what this is referring to, but we know the rules. The rules are, when something is in a small amount, you have the responsibility as the mocher to take the maisers. So those you're not allowed to sell demai. If you are selling a large amount, then it's lokeach's obligation to take off the maisers. So when we say kol davar she'eino demashoy lemachrei demai, we're obviously talking about small amounts. And so therefore, in those cases, lo yishlach chaver d'mai, you shouldn't send to your friend either. In other words, it's a mat, even though it's a matana, and some of the svaris which we were mechalik, remember, as you recall, we had several svaris for why there was this distinction between a small amount and a large amount. One svar was that it was tully in profit, and another svar was it was tully in whether you had children picking it up. So since if it was a small amount, children would pick it up. So therefore, we didn't want the children eating tevel on the way home. That was another svar. So as far as profit is concerned, if we're talking about a matana, now the recipient of a matana is completely, all the revach is his, and there's no revach to the nosing. So one would have been, prompted to, might have said, therefore, whenever I give away matana, it's always the recipient's responsibility. Kamash Malon, this Mishnah, that is not the case. It's one rule across the board, because The same way. Called over Shana Marshai Lamaikrai, Lo Yishlach Al Chaveroi Demai. The same rules of Mechira apply to Matana, and you don't make this Svara that I just told you, which you could easily have said. Okay?
So if you give a large Matana, then you're part of the
Matana. Then you'll be part of the Matana. Correct.
But you have to let the person know that to whom you're giving it, whether he has to take the Maitras or not, right?
Yes. In every case, you have to let him know. Rabbi Yossi Mater, Bavadai. In other words, we were talking about Demai in the Tanakhama. So Rabbi Yossi is saying, if it's Vadai, in other words, it's for sure Tevel, or for Vajyodienu, then he'll allow. Now we're going to say exactly what he's talking about. Let's just assume for the time being that he's Mater by a large amount to send it as Tevel. Okay? I think that they even speak this out. No, actually, they speak. The Rav Folda says, "Rabbi Yosi Mati Bavadai Afilo Bedaka." Even if it's a small amount, he allows Vadai. Okay, and then Rabbi Yosi's Maida that by Dmai it's also Bedaka. He agrees with Tatanakam as far as Dmai is concerned. Okay, next, we're gonna have to talk about this in the Gemara. Tony, so now there's a famous rule. I know you guys know this rule. You can't pass by food. This happens to me a lot. I walk in the street and all of a sudden you see a roll on the floor. Sometimes a kid dropped it out of a stroller and the parents didn't realize it. So you can't just walk by it. I mean, it's an affair. Shalach and Shulchan Aruch. I mean, people are not nizer in this. I don't know why. But anyway, it says you're not allowed to walk by the food. You have to put it. It says here you have to put it in the English. It says you have to put it in a sheltered area where it won't be trampled. So that's why he picked it up. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Zalti B'Shem Rav Avuhu Hodamar. He said that that which the Brisa said, that you can't, that's for Yishayna, that was in the originally in earlier generations. That's when there was sorcery, the Kishuf was not done by ladies. Aval Akshav Mutter, nowadays you can walk by the food in the Akshavim because there's so many ladies that are involved in Kishuf, that we are afraid that if we're talking about a whole loaf here, that the whole loaf, that they did some kind of Kishuf, and if you're going to touch that whole loaf, you're going to have a hezek on your hands, because the Kishuf will come and get you. But if it's a piece, if it's cut in pieces, they don't do Kishuf on pieces, so that you could still do. Nowadays, there's no Kishuf, the whole thing is back. We're back to the way it was. That's what I would say. Next, the Gemara says, let's see. Tamon Taninon. Ha'haifak is a gol b'shus ha'rabim. If someone turns dung over lying in b'shus ha'rabim. V'huzak v'hen acher. And someone else gets a hezek, right? You turn over dung, obviously, because you want the top part perhaps is dried out a little bit. You want to dry out the bottom part. So you're going to use it, let's say, for some fertilizer in your own house, in your own yard. And the way they would do this is they would let it get trampled by the animals going through the streets. So he's in the street and he's turning it over. So it was originally not his, but he turned it over he's planning on taking it home. So when he turned it over, that was a Maisa Hagba, which makes it his. He's Kona, so it makes perfect sense.
There's a business opportunity.
That's Huzuk Ben Acher, Chayev Benizko, your Chayev in the Nezek. Chayv and the Nezek, someone else.
They used to make also kalim, I think, out of dung.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's all kinds of uses you can come up with. The bottom line is you're going to be chayv because it's a bar b'shus harabim. Tani basur mishum gezel. Obviously, you're not going to be able to take it. Anybody else won't be able to take it because since it's yours, it's gezel. Tani kahano amar raz. I don't know why they're calling by his last name. Kahana said. Of course, this is talking about where you turned it over in order to be zocha. So you had a kavanas kenyan. But if you did not have kavanas kenyan, I mean, it's a funny lashon because the way they translated it, it said if he did not have kavanas kenyan. Now, if you really read the translation literally, what it says is you had kavana not to be zocha. That's quite different. The issue is going to be if you do a Maisa Kenyan without Kavana to be Kona, is that Kona or not? So that's Machlokas Rishonim, the Shita Mekubetzes and Bava Metzi over there. That's a famous Machlokas, whether you have to have Kavana by a Kenyan or not. But it's clear here, the way we're translating it, that you have to have a Kavana to be Kona in order to be Kona. Okay? Then lobado. Then in that case, it would remain ownerless, and anybody can take it. But this is the interesting point. But as far as the zikin is concerned, no difference whether you have kavanas kinyan or you don't have kavanas kinyan. The fact is, you have taken a bar b'shus harabim. And it doesn't require a kinyan, like we say. Right? So even though it's not your rishus, it's still chayiv for the iske bor. The Gemara is going to speak this out in a second. Then you're going to be chayiv the nezek regardless whether he had kavana or not. So now the Gemara is asking a question now. V'hocha ad omar hachein. But over here, when you're talking about the Mitzia and the Rosh Hasharabim, the Gemara is asking a Kasha. This Kasha needs explanation because it's not clear what the question is. Here in our Mishnah, what did we say? We said that if you found food in Rosh Hasharabim and you did not have Kavana to be Kona, and you were just pushing it over to the side so that it shouldn't be trampled on, what's the halacha as far as being chayv and maizus or not? It says potter. It says in the Mishnah, it says that only chayv if you have kavanah to be kona. But if you didn't have kavanah to be kona, right? Remember what it said? Then the top line, notam b'shul shalo yoyveidu, potter. It says you're potter. So you see, you're not responsible for something that you're not kona. So the Gemara is asking a stira. It's a subtlety, this stira. What do you think the kasha is? The Mishnah is talking about the Chiyuv of Maisus.
Right.
Right. So what's the Tzushtel? So why is it a Shtira? Because the Gemara held that your Chiyuv to take Maisus is just as big a Hezek as a Bor B'Shus Ram. In other words, there's spiritual Hezek and there's physical Hezek.
If someone takes it,
and they eat it without taking maisrus, so you've set them up to have a nichshol. This is a nichshol for them. So the Gemara, it's a subtle question, right? That the same way you're obligated in nizokin, physical nizokin als bar. So why aren't you worried about the spiritual nizokin that someone's going to eat something which is not moser? That's the kasha of the Gemara. Make sense? Okay, so the Gemara answers this question. It's different by bar, because by bar, it's the person that owns the nezek. That's the person that created the hezek, and it doesn't require that you own it. You have to just be the one that caused the nezek to occur. Okay, I'm going, if you don't mind, Rabbi, I'm going to mute you. Okay, Bal Nezek Yishalei. So let's just read the English a little bit. The party responsible for the resultant damage shall make restitution so that one is liable for damages as long as he made the hazard that caused the damage, even if he does not have legal title to the obstacle. That's the idea. So it's different. Baram Hocha, Aser to Aser. Now the Pasek, you rightly pointed out, as Morty pointed out, that in today's Kriya, you had Aser to Aser. Here we have a connection to the Daf, to the Kriya. Anyway, so the Pasuk is, Aser to Aser is called Tfuas Zarecha. The main part is not quoted in the Gemara. It says Zarecha, that you only chayev to take Maiser from your produce. And this is not your produce, it's Hefker. So therefore, the Mishnah potters you from taking it. Okay. Now let's go to the next part. Whatever you're not allowed to sell as demai, you're not allowed to send to your friend as a gift either. So Gemara says, Mida daka, if we're talking about a small amount, Shane, you're not allowed to sell it to Mai, like we said many times already, with that when you sell a small amount, it's the mocher's obligation to take off the maestros. Lo yishlach kaveru to Mai, you can't send it as a gift to your friend either. Mida gasa, if it's a large amount, Shane, you're not allowed to buy, a person can sell it. Yishlach kaveru to Mai, a person can send it to his friend as the Mai. Okay. So now we're on Amud Beis, Chav Ches Amud Beis. Reb Yosi Matir Bavadai Ben Daka Ben Gasa. Now the Gemara is adding these words, right? If you look in the Mishnah, the words of the Mishnah say Reb Yosi Matir Bavadai. Reb Yosi allows Vadai to be sent to your friend, but he doesn't say what he's talking about. So the Gemara adds two words, right? Four words. Ben Daka Ben Gasa. He's Matir everything if it's Vadai. But he agrees that the daka, which the Tanakamo asserted, he agrees to that. It's just the vadai he holds is different. So why is that? Let's see here.
He says that because it's tevel vadai, the guy will be careful even in a small amount. So that's why a small amount, a large amount, when it's tevel vadai, but the demai in a small amount, the guy might be nirsha.
Apparently, when it comes to demai, people are a little more megal, and so they have they would be meira heter, but bavadai he holds this everybody would be makbid, so you don't need to worry about that. Yeah. Okay. Rabavu b'shem Rabbi Yechonam negedero he tiru demai bagasa. Now here, there's the English presentation which we're going to learn first. And then there's the Vilna Gaon's approach to it. So we'll just speak the Vilna Gaon out in a minute. But we're going to say the way the English presents this idea here. He's about to present a new concept, which we've never had before, which is that there's an agenda here to promote and encourage people to become chaver. And apparently, if you're a chaver and you're constantly having to give... You know, when you take off maestros, you have to take off the maestros, and you're constantly having to take off in every situation. So that you're going to say, what do I need? Lomeli l'tzarazol, so I have to become a chaver for, and I'm always responsible to take off the maestros. It's a lot of work. I'm not going to bother. So the chachamim made certain, heterim that to encourage the chaver. This is a new concept. We never had it before. All of a sudden, it pops up out of the blue sky. I don't like this shot. I don't like this. It just rubs me a little funny that we never had the concept before of encouraging or discouraging people to become chaverim. And all of a sudden on this page, this becomes a central focus. I don't know. It's very suspicious shot.
Are we talking about that the guy's an Am Haaretz or he's just an average guy?
We're talking about trying to encourage a person to become a chaver.
From where? From an Am Haaretz to become a chaver? Or from a Stam guy to become a Chaver?
I don't know that there's a difference. I don't know. Let's read it inside and see if we can figure that out. I'm not 100% sure. So Rabbi Bu B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, he says, what are we doing? The Gemara is explaining why you can't send a small measure of demai as a gift. In other words, I went ahead and explained, and I kind of spoke this out already. We explained that let's just take the profit. Rambam only quotes the reason of profit in the Rambam and Hilchos Maestros. He says that the reason why there's a difference between a small amount and a large amount is because a large amount you make less profit, small amount you make more profit, and therefore it's incumbent on the mocher. So over here by a matona, all the profit belongs to the makabel. So that's really what's lying behind the Gemara now, trying to explain why is it taka osur to send the mai in Rita Daka? Why should that be osur? So the Gemara says, and they dare he threw demai bagasa. The rabbi is permitted selling demai in large measure because of the seller's, the English here says, the seller's distinguished post of chaveris that they wish to preserve. So he's already a chaver tzvi, okay? Duma Sisa, as evidence in our Mishnah, which prohibits gifting demai in small measures. So let's just see what it says here in footnote 4. Rabavu says the main reason the Rabbonim permitted the sale of demai before tithing was that if the seller would always have the responsibility to take maizus, he would be discouraged from accepting himself upon himself to be a chaver. In other words, we've always presented this just as because you're making less profit, he's throwing in a new svar now. Besides that, if even in the case that you wouldn't be making a lot of profit, you would also have to take maizus, so then you're going to say, well, I need this chavras for. This chavras is too big a burden. So we're allowing him to sell the Mida Gasa to encourage him to retain his status of chaver. That's the way he's learning the Pshat Ligmar. So they were lenient concerning wholesalers, allowed them to sell demai without first tithing it. Now concerning a gift, it does not apply, because that would not inhibit anyone from accepting upon himself to be a chaver. Nevertheless, to further their agenda of encouraging chavras, the rabbis extended the heter, and they didn't differentiate between sales and gifts. Whether it's a large sale, whether it's a large gift or a large sale, it doesn't make a difference. Across the board, we allowed it. So this is the way he's explaining it. A really strange shot. I found it very difficult. Anyway, the Gra says that Gedero doesn't mean this at all. Gedero, the Gra says, it's he uses the old classic terminology that this is something which the Rav HaTzibur can't be oimed on. So Chazal understood that if I'm not going to make a lot of profit, I'm making very little profit, and I'm selling a lot of stuff to tell me that I have to take the righteous, that's too much. That's too much of a burden. Very simple approach. No. At least it's a terminology that we're familiar with. You know? Okay. Now, the Gemara says they're going to prove this from Rabbi Yossi. This part. This is a hard part of the Gemara. I'm not 100% sure exactly what the pshat is. Rabbi Yossi Aymer, we're quoting from the Mishnah before in page 23a, that Rabbi Yossi Aymer, Sali Teinim, Sali Anavim, Mekupas Shal Yorak, if you're selling baskets of grapes and figs and boxes of vegetables, when you sell them as by estimation, meaning you don't sell them with any kind of measure or weight, you just sell it b'mida, right, by estimate, putter, so you're putter from taking maizus. We don't pass it like Rabbi Yossi. The Tanna Kamma argues with Rabbi Yossi, but this is the same name. You notice the name. So this is Rabbi Yossi Aymer, and we had Rabbi Yossi in our case of our Mishnah saying Rabbi Yossi Matzer Bavadi Ben Daka Ben Gasa. So we're trying to use that Mishnah from earlier to somehow prove Rabbi Avuhu's way of thinking. Now, I'm frankly not 100% sure how this works. We'll take a look at footnote 8, okay? So sales by estimation, this is the logic over here. Normally when I sell things bo'emed, the estimation, so that tends to profit the lokeach, obviously, because he's going to get more than he bargained for, right? That's the assumption. So if the only consideration of who benefits most from the transaction is
the moker.
One second.
We want the moker to be losing money, so that way that's why he's putter, to help him out.
Yeah. This is a nuance here that I missed. Sorry. Although I should have read it inside. I'm sorry. I was saying it balpe, and I missed the main nuance of the first part of the paragraph. Although sale by estimation tends to benefit the lokeach, but it doesn't necessarily have to be so. There are going to be cases where he's not going to be benefiting. So therefore, since there are cases where it does not benefit the lokeach, therefore there's no reason for the mocher to benefit by not having to take off his maisers. That's what he starts off with. This is like, whoa. So, nonetheless, so Rabbi Vu said that the rabbis waived the tithing requirement for large measure sales, so you shouldn't be discouraged from being a chaver. So Rabbi Yossi says, when it comes to sales by estimation, which resemble large measure sales, they both tend to benefit the buyer. So therefore, the chi of maisus goes on the lokeach. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We're trying to prove. It's like a, I don't know. It's like a. It's, the whole raya is based on this flimsy svara that he starts off with, that although it tends to benefit the lokeach, but it doesn't have to benefit the lokeach. Okay. So maybe the fact that it usually benefits lokeach is the reason why he's matrit. What's that got to do with the chaver? It's like, I find this very dochek. So he has to go ahead and make a svar. It should have been on the mocher. Even when it's be'oimid, it should have been on the mocher. Why? Because sometimes the mocher also profits. And just because sometimes, or even most of the time, the lokeach profits, still, it shouldn't have been that he's putter. Since he is putter, it must be the svar that we're saying. It must be because we're trying to encourage him to remain a chaver. That's what it seems to be saying over here. Very, very hard to read. Very hard to understand this. I'm having a trouble. I have trouble even explaining this. I mean, do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying. But to me, it tends to is a little bit of a side point. If the bottom line is that it usually benefits the mocher, then the chaver is losing out on the deal, like the regular case, and therefore we make it punter so that way he doesn't get double hit.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. According to the Gra, then we would be proving another case of Inatzibu Yochel Mamayba, I guess. I'm not 100% sure about that. How did the Gra learn this pshat in the Gemara? Let's see. So he says, Kishamochar Aksara Potter. Here. Umaisi Raya. See the Gra in Ksavyad by the two dots? Umaisi Raya Mehoda Afilu Mida Dako Kishamochar Aksara Potter. That even when you sell a small amount, but you're selling it through estimation, you're putter. Almo de lav davka gasa hi tiru. So the way the Gilgal's reason here is that it doesn't mean that it has to be gasa that they're matarit to sell without mice ring. But by the mai, it's even if it's a midadaka, you also can have a heter. Almo kol shein hatzibur yochel amoid is a tiru.
Even a small amount.
So the Gra is a little simpler to say it. Okay, let's go a little further. Amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Shalchli, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Esrig. So he said, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi sent him an Esrig. He sent him the Esrig. It's not 100% clear whether he sent this Esrig on Sukkot to use to be Yotzei the Mitzvah of Lulav and Esrig, or whether he sent him this Esrig the rest of the year for to eat, right? And I'm far from a little. It seems to me a shiloh and shining exactly why he sent him this extra. You'll see in a second why that makes a difference. For Amali, so when he sent him with the esrog, he said Zebobioni Bekisim. This came from Caesarea. Remember, Caesarea is a place which is mostly, apparently they're goyim there. Okay, we're going now. The goyim are not mafkiyim midei kedushas meiser. And therefore, it's going to be chayiv and maisers. So by sending him this message, he's telling him what? I'm sending you this esrog, and you should know, you're going to have to take maisers yourself. I didn't take off maisers. You see, it's a whole esrog, right? V'lamanati bo shloshet varim. I learned three things from the message. One, shuhu vadai, that this is not sofik meiser. This is vadai tevel, because I got it from the people of Caesarea. It's vadai tevel. Number two, shuhu tame, and we're going to see why, how he knows it's tame in just a second. And three, shlobo biyad acher. Lastly, he doesn't have another esrig from which he could have taken meisers from, because if he would have taken meisers from it, then he wouldn't have had to tell him that it came from Caesarea. He could have just sent it to him without telling him anything. Because who cares where it came from? So, obviously, he didn't have another esrog to take meisers from. And obviously, it's Tevel. And that's why he's telling me where it came from. That's the Gemara says.
So, if he wants to be
was this Caesarea in Eretz Yisrael or outside?
So, we're going now that this is from the Kvishas Oile Mitzrayim and not the Oile Bavel. But we're going to ask in a second, because we had an earlier Gemara that said the Pharisee, the Rebbe was Mater Caesarea and said that it was 100% totally exempt from Trumas and Mishas. But we'll hold off on that question for just a second. That's the last piece of the Gemara. Hold on. The Gemara is now assuming that at least it's Chayef and Mishas Midrabanan. I'm sorry, Dov, did you have a question?
No, no, no.
Yeah?
We'll see
So the Gemara says like this. Shuhu vadai, the fact that it was definitely Tevel, Shaperis Kesrin, vadai, because the Caesarean fruit is definitely vadai. Shuhu tamei, that it was tamei, Shemar Bitzin Olav Mayim, because they used to spray the Paris with water, apparently, after they picked it, obviously, because you can't remacture it with water while it's still attached to the tree. It means after they picked it, they sprayed it with water. Shilobo b'yanacher, they didn't have another one. Shilobo b'yanacher, how you might assume he's all
that. And it says they did it to preserve it as they shipped it.
Yeah, whatever the reason was.
He says hidur, because it's for a mitzvah, so to make it hidur, they used to spray it down with water. That's
spray it down with water, yeah. Okay, make it nice and shiny.
Yeah, shiny.
And number two, and number three, that he didn't have another one, because otherwise he would have taken meisers from the other one. So the Gemara asks a question. V'yaser mimenu olav. Take the meiser from this esrog itself. Take a knife, cut off a slice of the esrog, and so now some people ask, obviously this was not taking place on Sukkos, because otherwise you could never cut it up. And some say, no, it could be Cholamoid. Well, Cholamoid, you can actually, the Gemara, Sukkah says he was Tevel in his Esrog, and he ate the bread after he was Tevelin, because Chaser is kosher on Cholamoid. So maybe it's talking about Cholamoid, and it is for the mitzvah. Okay, so there's two mahalchim here, whether it's not on Sukkah, or whether it is on Sukkah, but it's on Cholamoid. Okay, so that Gemara is asking, why did he take from itself? So the Gemara says a very fundamental answer. This is one of my pet peeves, Baruch Hashem. This is my pet peeve. I love it. Here we go. Du chashash lahadod bar kapara. He was worried about bar kapara. Because what did bar kapara say? Bar kapara omar, ein derach b'yodim liyas m'shachal l'chaveyam dvorim chaserim. When you send your friend things, you send your friend a gift, you don't send him broken things. I'm not going to send you an apple, which I sliced a slice of the apple out of the apple and say, oh, here, Shlomi, here, have an apple. And never mind the slice that I took off of it. So this, the reason I mention this, is because, what am I referring to? Shalach Manas. Shalach Manas, for you to send me a plastic bag with some potato chips in it that you took out of your what are the canisters called?
Pringles.
That you took out some Pringles out of your canister and put it in a plastic bag, that's called sending things which are chaser. That's chaser. In my opinion, it's chaser.
So you just need a small package of Pringles.
Literally. A small container of Pringles. That's okay.
It's just like popcorn. You need to throw in a few pieces.
Same exact problem. It's the same problem. Anyway, and I thought I was the only one.
My wife
has
the same opinion.
I thought I was the only one. But if you look at the footnote at the bottom, of footnote 16, you'll see Siddarach Amuno, who applies this to sending Mishlach Manas on Purim. I was Baruch Hashem, I was Mechavet. Anyway. Very good. So you couldn't, so again, so but listen to what we're saying here. So this is a very interesting, Ankedei Kach, just to put this in perspective. So you're, the Gemara says, you're normally, when you send a small amount, which is just an asterisk, it's a small amount, right? You send a small amount, you're mechuyev to take off maisers. And you had an option to take off maisers. You could have taken the maisers minei uvei.
But not to be
But what? But because of Bar Kapara, we're going to be matter you to send Daka without taking off Maestras so that you shouldn't send your friend something which is Chaser. Realize what's your, you know, in the scale of things, you got to weigh what's important in life. And this Yerushalmi is Gevaldik. This Yerushalmi is a Musa Haskel. We're being matter and Isser because of etiquette. It's a very interesting thing. Okay. So Gemara says, Lomas Nisa. This is the whole thing, the whole daf was Kedai for this line. Okay. Lomas Nisa he. The Gemara says what? Gemara questions the Brisa from Amishna. Rabbi Yosi Mata Bavadai Bavad Shio Dio. The question is like, well, he says in the English here is, how did he infer from the message that he had no other esrog? Maybe Rabbi Yossi had another esrog, but he sent the untithed esrog since he himself is of the opinion that you can send a gift of untithed tevel. So the Gemara says, right? In other words, we're talking about Rabbi Yossi here. So Rabbi Yossi shita is you can send something. Which is tevel if you're Mordiahim. So maybe that's the case. Just 1 second, I'm sorry. Okay. So how did he know? How did he know that he didn't have another esrog? Maybe he had another esrog, except the only thing is that he was going according to his shita that you're mutter to send something if you're Mordiahim, if it's tevel vadai. So Gemara says, Asher Meimalach, so it's coming to tell you the following. Afal gav du polig al rabbanin. Even though this one scholar, meaning Rabbi Yossi, argues on the Chachamim, alo avar of the kavaseh, but he certainly wouldn't do like his shita. I have a personal shita, but I'm not going to go against the Rabbim. The Rabbim disagree with me. I'm going to submit to the Rabbim. I would never send, right? I would never send somebody be avadai tevel just because I was Mordiahim. That's the Gemara. Talk to Gemara. Rabbi Zeira bar kumi Rabbi Yosa lo miperachem b'tor b'kestin he. So he said, isn't this part of the area which was mutter? In this area, we said that was mutter. So the Gemara says, on Chavtas, amalev lo Rabbi hiter kisrin. That was Rabbi that was mutter this area. Rabbi Shemig Amliel kaidem lo Rabbi haya. He was older than Rabbi. And therefore, in his time, right? Why are we saying Rav Shimon Gamliel? Is that the?
Yes, footnote 2.
Why Rav Shimon Gamliel? Was that who he sent the?
His father, Rav Shimon Gamliel, was the father of Rebbe.
No, but I'm asking, what about this Esrog thing? Was that who sent this? Yes, it's Rav Shimon. It was
Rabbi Yossi.
If you go back, it says Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Shalach li Rabbi Yossi Barabbi Esrog. So the story happened with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So he lived before Rabbi, and so in his day it was still Aser, and therefore we have no problem. Ad Khan.